Wisdom is having really good jokes and knowing when not to say them. I struggle with that one a lot. And so, but when we're looking at Proverbs, the basis for all wisdom comes in verse 7 of chapter 1. Let me read it real quick. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. What this is saying is that the foundation of all wisdom is God. So the reality is God wants you to live wisely. He wants you to have the tools to be able to live in this world. But the point of all of this is to point you to the great wisdom teacher, Jesus. And so if you reject him and what he says, you are what Proverbs calls a fool. So you can gain a lot of wisdom. You can seek it out. You can test it out. You can try to live really well. But if you do it apart from following Jesus, you are a fool. And all of your wisdom will be worthless. But for those of us here who do follow Jesus, there is great wisdom to be found in the Bible. And so God wants you to know how to live wisely today. So turn to chapter 27. That's our preface, our intro. So my favorite food in the entire world is Mexican food.
Chakula changu ninachokipenda sana ni chakula cha wa Mexico.
So if you're not familiar,
na kama ujui,
when you go to a Mexican restaurant,
unapoenda katika hoteli za Mexicans,
they always bring you chips and salsa before the meal.
Lazima utakupatia chips na salsa mbele ya kupata mlo.
So as you order your food,
unapokuwa ukianza kuagiza chakula chako,
you already have the greatest food in the world in front of you. And so I eat by myself, usually a whole basket. And so by the time my food gets there, I'm already full. But you know what I think? My food is now here. I can't let it go to waste. So I leave. Miserable. Some might call that gluttony. It's gluttony. That's what it is. Yeah. But I'm not proud of it. But that's just the nature of it. I am what Solomon calls fool. Fool as in like filled up, not fool as in like you're a fool. Yeah, so it's wordplay in English, whatever. Okay, so let's look at verse 7. Solomon says this. A person who is full tramples on a honeycomb, but to a hungry person, any bitter thing is sweet.
That's 27. Inasema hivi, aliyeshiba hata asali huikataa, lakini kwa mwenye njaa kila kichungu ni kitamu.
So, if you think of the word fool, What he's talking about is someone who has most of their needs met. So for most of us here, many of us here, we're not worried about whether we're going to eat lunch later. We're full. We have our needs met. And sometimes, this can cause some negative side effects. Now, having your needs met is really good. Like not having to worry about a roof over your head is a good thing. But that can lead you to sometimes take things for granted. And so the point for Solomon, what he's trying to teach us, is to watch out. Because we are quick to take things for granted. Look what he says. He says, this fool person, me, tramples on a honeycomb. Now, back in biblical times, or back when Jesus lived, or these guys, honey was really important.
Asali ilikuwa ya muhimu sana.
It was used as a sweetener.
Ilikuwa inatumiwa kama kitu cha kuongeza sukari.
It was used in making cakes.
Ilikuwa inatumiwa kutengeneza keki.
They used it as medicine.
Ilitumiwa kama madawa.
And so it was really, really highly regarded, or they cared about it a lot.
Ilikuwa inashikwa ya muhimu zaidi.
So much so that God called the promised land a place flowing with milk and honey.
Mpaka wakati kwamba Mungu akaita nchi ya ahadi kwamba ni mahali ambapo patakuwa panatoka asali.
But what Solomon says here,
lakini kile Sulemani anasema hapa,
is that the person who has their needs met
kwamba yule mtu ambaye ako na mahitaji yake yote
will destroy this.
Ataweza kuharibika.
So he is blinded by having all of these comforts, all of these things.
Anapofika na haya mambo yote mazuri ambayo ako nayo.
And that leads him to be blind to this great gift from God. In fact, his blindness leads him to destroy it. He didn't care. Now, this is not ultimately about honey. And it's not always about food. I want to share with you something. We take things for granted all the time. We don't notice good things all the time. For example, what do you think will happen if you call 911? Most likely, someone is going to help you. Or what do you think is going to happen when your kid shows up at school tomorrow? There's going to be a teacher there who is prepared for that day. And we drop our kids off. And we don't think twice about how long it takes to create a lesson plan. We take it for granted. Or the opportunity that we have to go to school that's safe and supportive of your kids. There's a general expectation that the leadership of your kids' school isn't going to punch them. Last thing is, we also take for granted the fact that we have an opportunity to be here without fear of persecution. We can come together and read the Bible and study it all we
want.
And I'm not like trying to get on to us. I'm just saying we take things for granted all the time. But also, we reject good things. Because we have our needs met a lot of the time, we reject good gifts. For example, the school district of where we moved from gave everyone free lunch. So if you were a student, you had free lunch. So when I would go and visit our students, I'd go up and eat lunch with them. I always had one or two who wouldn't eat anything. Because they said, this food is not good. And my thinking always was, you've got five lines to pick from. And they're giving it to you for free. And you're choosing to not eat anything. You know who's not worried about eating dinner that night? That kid. He's full.
I'm a Sheba.
And it, bears itself out in rejecting good things. Another thing we reject, we take for granted, is like, we said this, just actually I'm going to move on. But another thing we do is we destroy good things. You notice what he did, the full person here, is he trampled on a honeycomb. He destroyed it. Sometimes one thing we do is we allow good things to be destroyed. For example, a friendship. Because we have the opportunity to get other friends. We feel comfortable in like allowing arguments to grow and develop and never end. And to destroy the friendship or the relationship we have with another family member or friend. Because we're full of other people. But I want you to look at the second part of this proverb. Look what he says. But to a hungry person, any bitter thing is sweet. There's a German proverb that says, hunger is the best cook. For example, if you made a meal that was not very good, and you know it's not very good. But if no one in your family has eaten lunch that day, most people are going to eat it anyway. What Solomon is saying is when a person recognizes that they do have needs, their eyes are opened up to recognize gifts. When I was little, we always went swimming in the summer. And when you're a little kid, what do you like to do? Go down and try to touch the bottom. But when you're on your way back up to the top of the pool, you start to realize it was a lot further down than you thought it was. So you're trying to swim back up, and all of a sudden you feel pressure from no air. So you start to stress out. What would happen if you're in that position? And I stopped you. And I said, hey, listen, let's discuss this. I will give you a brand new Xbox One S.
Xbox S
with all the coolest games. FIFA. Whatever else. Plus, I'll give you a new F-150.
Na pia nitakupatia F-150 mpya.
And
na pia
a promotion you've been waiting on.
Na ile ambayo ulikuwa unajaribu kupata kazini, kuinuliwa cheo kazini.
And I'll make your male pattern baldness go away.
Na nitafanya hizo zote ziende ambazo zinakusumbua.
In exchange for you not coming back up for air.
Na lakini kile utanipatia tu ni kwamba usirudi tena juu uende chini au baki chini.
Now in that moment,
kwa huyo wakati,
do you care about any of those things? Do you care about any of those things?
Utafikiri kwamba utajali hizo vitu zote?
No.
Hapana.
All of a sudden your greatest need,
kwa sababu mahitaji yako ama hitaji lako kubwa,
took precedent over everything.
Ni kufika tu juu.
Your need for air opened your eyes to what was really important. That is what Solomon is saying. Here's what he's saying. Guard your heart from ingratitude. Or I'll say it another way. What he's trying to tell you, don't wait until you're needy to be thankful to God. That's what he's saying.
It's
like, appreciate your life. God works in ways that you ignore every day. And yet he still provides them. And so the call for us today is to appreciate your life. Let's pray. Alright, so Father, we come before you. We thank you so much for this morning. And we thank you for the opportunity we have to hear from you and from your word and the call to be appreciative of our lives and what you've done for us. And so I pray that you've spoken to us this morning, and I pray that as we worship, we would respond to you and just with hearts of gratitude for how you provide for us. That we wouldn't be greedy for more, but that we would have our eyes opened to how you care for us. And so we thank you for your love and for the air that we're breathing. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.